Hey gang, this was originally going to be a combined Patreon and Reddit AMA, but here we are. Way too many of you had questions for me to put it all in one. So patrons are just going to get this, and then patrons will also have another one that will be live on Reddit, and then probably get edited down and posted in a few weeks. So I promise that I would answer every patron question. Let's get into it. There are a lot of overlaps, like a lot of overlaps. So if I skip over a particular wording or if I, you know, sounds like I'm reading one but don't end up saying it, it's because it's an overlap. But without further ado, let's get started, shall we? What are your biggest sexual and non-sexual turn-ons? Biggest sexual turn on is probably being competitive, whether that's being better than your ex or better than somebody actively, or competitive with the other person, vis-a-vis like wrestling or dominance play, things like that. Non-sexual turn on, caring about your own appearance. I want to be very clear that that doesn't mean pretty or conventionally attractive or shredded or ripped or anything like that. But just, and it doesn't even mean consistently either, to be clear. But just somebody who looks like they're at peace and comfortable with the decisions that they've made about their appearance that day. Whether that's like you're rocking up to Sam's Club in sweatpants and you're just like fucking knocking it out of the park, or you've spent an hour and a half on your appearance that day and everything matches perfectly. That is a lot to me. I think that's probably one of the biggest non-sexual turn-ons. Followed immediately by, what are your biggest sexual and non-sexual turn-offs? Sexual turn-off, number one, nipple play on my end. I don't like it. I know that some people do. I know that a lot of men are wired in such a way that they feel it directly in all the important parts. Not that man. It has the opposite effect. If people play with my nipples, it actively kills my erection. I wish it were not so, but we live in the world we live in. Non-sexual turnoffs. Being rude to anyone in the service industry. I have literally stood up in the middle of a date and left because the person I was with, when the server came by to ask, after waiting for 10 minutes for the person I was with to pick what they wanted off the menu, said, and I remember this very vividly, "Can you give us a fucking minute?" To which I said, whoa. And that was that. Service people are often working incredibly hard just to pay rent for bosses that are strung out coke addicts in an environment that will never let them retire or have health insurance. They feel a detriment to themselves and society, and if you cannot spare the 4 minutes it takes to read a menu and show some kindness, I don't have the rest of my life to show you that kindness in return. So, yeah, biggest non-sexual turnoff is being rude to anyone in any service position whatsoever. I will go so far as to re-rack clothes I try on at clothing stores. It's a big thing. Perfect 5-course meal, wine pairing. Interesting. I like the classic European style of dining, which for fine dining or anything medium and above, is starting with something very small. Usually these are 3 canapé, which is focused on seasonality, followed by some sort of vegetable dish. I like dishes that are made out of vegetables that don't try to be steak. Don't give me a carrot steak, just give me a good carrot dish. People seem opposed to the idea of using fruit in any coursing period, and I think that's a mistake. After that, some sort of savory dish. I love quail. Quail is a nightmare to cook. Quail is, I'll even say pigeon, actually. It's basically the same thing, and pigeon is sustainable and not horrifically farmed. ending on a sweet dessert for the regular coursing, and then I like stepping out to a separate room or space to enjoy after dinner, which is usually in the form of petit four or cheese course or breads, things that are meant to enjoy afterwards, and then accompanying that with Amaro. Wine pairing. I don't do wine pairing. I know so much about wine, and I've had so much wine that it's often not worth it for me. I would rather drink a bottle. If I'm at a perfect five-course Michelin or better level meal, they probably have a bottle in their cellar that I have never been able to try before, and I would rather do that than do the wine pairing of wines that I can have with things. I enjoy experiencing food in its own element. What does the perfect day look like for you? Working on something I love unequivocally, laughing with people that I love unequivocally, and then winding down my day in a home that I love unequivocally. What's your favorite quirk about each of your cats? Pippin is quite literally pair bonded to me, like 1-to-1. I think constantly about what would happen if something happened to me. She would be a wreck. She's a little goofball, and I love her for that. Juniper will always meow the first time you look at her. Always. The first time you make eye contact with her, she will always meow. It does not matter what the consequences are. You can also abuse this by leaving the room and coming back into the room, and she does it again. And you can leave the room and come back into the room, and she does it again. It's literally like an NPC in a video game, and it's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Spoon loves neck scratches so bad that he will use gravity to his advantage to get harder neck scratches. But what this means is sometimes he presses his skull into your hand so hard for scratches that he knocks himself over and he falls over to get the perfect angle. Which is goofy, and he's a dumb little guy, but he's my dumb little guy. Yeah, hope that answers your question. What's the biggest change you feel about yourself from life, mental, or whatever aspect you name it in the past year? Going from somebody who only ever profited off of the creativity of others to somebody who feels like they're creating works of their own. My entire career being involved in liquor and alcohol and restaurants, I was working for chefs who were talented, selling the wine of winemakers who were talented, building beverage programs for owners who were talented. I've managed to leave the just incredibly toxic restaurant industry, but that was the first 8 or 9 years of my life. And now I feel like I'm really creating something and bringing things into the world rather than just being the middleman. And being the middleman and being obsessed with trying to not be a drain on society, you know, really adding value with what I do, being hospitable and caring and nurturing of those that I share the space with, although they are well-intentioned, were symptoms of a deeper kind of distrust and dislike for the role that I played in American capitalism and consumerism. I have some very strong opinions about capitalism. So to being able to create and offer value that I want to offer rather than being chained by somebody else's idea of what it should be worth has been something that's been really good for me. That's why the Patreon is so cheap relative to the amount of content that I put out. I feel very strongly about that. Hypothetically speaking, will having a partner in life influence your decision of being a not safe work VA? What if they're not much of a supporter? I would never make a long-term life partner out of someone who doesn't support me doing sex work. In general, somebody who is like me and similar to me that I could see myself being a life partner with is probably also in sex work at this point. I'm so ingrained in what it is. I guess if I really met someone who was just unquestionably the correct person, I would at least think about it, but I have to be honest, I don't think that I would ever I think this is probably a decision for life at this point. The idea of getting into more traditional porn is actually something I'm excited about. So that really does also narrow down what the future looks like. All right, a couple questions here. What's something you felt like really impacted the person you are today? Could be a life event, a person, a lesson learned, etc. There's a lot of fake answers to this, but I'll be raw and say going independent as a teenager, being responsible for myself at a young age when society doesn't expect you to be, beyond the implications of finding a way to pay rent at 16, there are a lot of lessons you have to learn about how you present yourself. And I would say that those are the most influential things that I have taken from that time of my life, was becoming hypercognitive of how I am perceived. Because if you're perceived as timid or weak or nervous at all, when you're in a position of weakness like I was, you will get run over by anyone and everyone around you. If you weren't doing any of the jobs you did now or have done in the past, what career would you have liked to have gone into? Watchmaking. If I ever get doxxed, or if I ever lose my voice, or something really like just atrocious happens and I have to quit doing porn, I would take all of my savings, sell everything I have, move to Geneva for 2 years, apprentice, and make expensive watches. I'm good at it, but to take it to the next level, the professional level, I would need to fucking uproot everything. What do you think is your best and worst personality trait? Best personality trait is I don't believe in apathy. Apathy is something you feel towards something unimportant. And should you ever feel apathetic towards something important in your life, that is an indicator that you need to reassess. If you feel apathetic about your partner, about your job, about critical things in your life, something is wrong. And my awareness of that has saved me a lot of heartbreak by getting it out of the way. Worst personality trait. I tend to give more than I take. And it's something that I am working on, which I know is like, it's like the classic, like, I love too much, but it is problematic. Like, it is. And I definitely, a lot of my insistence and kind of punk mentality about people and the spaces around me comes from the fact that I am aware that for a lot of my life, I never wanted to be hated and I never wanted to be outcast by society. So I pleased too much, and now I'm on the flip side and I don't care what people think of me. Would you rather always have on wet socks or only be able to eat foods that start with V? I can't even name a food that starts with V. I mean, obviously, like, the layup, the fucking Kobe swish. Aside from, like, sexual innuendo, I don't know that I can name one. So I guess wet socks. Favorite toy to use on a play partner? Hard mode that's not a magic wand. Oof. One of the most fun play experiences I've ever had was using a Satisfyer Pro, which is one of the suction toys, on somebody's clit. And every time they got close to coming from me fingering them, I turned the Satisfyer on after like a 5 second pause. And every time they got close to coming from the Satisfyer, I would turn that off and go back to my fingers. And they came harder than I've ever seen a human being come in my entire life. When the two waveforms collided, for all you math nerds out there, that shit was crazy. So probably that. That was insane. Mostly because I think every other sex toy does things that I can do, whereas a Satisfyer does things that I can't do. Also, I'm not counting rope or other kink toys as toys. On your previous AMA, I feel like you enjoyed cooking somewhat. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you do, what is your favorite to go to winter recipe? Spaghetti bolognese is probably up there. I love it very much. Shepherd's pie. Love shepherd's pie. Don't make it very often. Yeah. I would say so. Probably either Shepherd's Pie or Spaghetti Bolognese. Like, very similar things, to be fair. What metrics do you have access to as a creator? Examples, private library conversions from the HFO. What audio do people listen to all the way through? Are there many listeners outside of US, Canada, and Australia? Anything surprising you can share? Thanks for the question, Talia. This is something that I could talk a lot about, but I don't want to like get too into the sauce for people that don't care. Audio is over 25 minutes long, oftentimes kind of just crash. Like, they don't do well. The listening retention is pretty bad. I can see click-through from links, so I can see where people are linking from, which is why I don't really link to Twitter anymore, because nobody was connecting through Twitter. They're connecting through email notifications, primarily. I am needing to work on that and fix it, but it's tough when I have my full-time job. But once Clean is done with the Discord and I'm done with the master list, which should be soon. By the time this goes up, it's probably done. Hopefully that I'll have more time to dig into the metrics. And are there listeners outside of USA, Canada, and Australia? Yes. Like an unfathomable amount of Asian continent listeners. I have hit extremely hard with like the Philippines, Singapore, and certain parts of mainland China. China I only know because they message me privately. People who are connecting to the space from China are using VPNs or other illegal things, but they let me know, I guess. What's your music hot take? I really don't know music before 2014, because that's when I was able to listen to music. So I don't have a lot of takes, other than I think 90% of music from the top 40 from like early 2000 to like 2010s doesn't really have a well-defined genre. I think that's when the metrics-minded people started hitting music the same way they hit baseball. And every song had to have the same beat and same rhythm and same hook and same personality. And as a result, so many of the songs from that era sound almost exactly the same. And I don't have the sentimental attachment that other people do. I think music from like the 90s is really good. I think music from the 80s is sometimes pretty good. Before the 80s, we just didn't have good understanding of how music worked and also how the technology worked. So maybe it falls off a little bit there, but like top 40 in the 2000s really was not that good. A lot of good underground stuff, a lot of good alternative, but you can hear the same beat rhythms and same everything. It's like hip hop took a 20-year step back because producers became white dudes in suits rather than people who actually enjoyed music. Big R&B guy, so I guess that's my hot take, is that R&B was better in the 90s than it was in 2000. Well, I don't even know if that's a hot take. I feel like most music people would agree with me. It doesn't matter. If you can control any animal, including bugs, what would it be and why? Moose. I should probably explain that one. A moose is one of a few animals where all it takes is one. Like, if you see one in your day and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, is that a moose? Oh my God, what the fuck? Like, if you see an owl, you're like, oh, cool, an owl. But like, five owls later, you're like, I should call my mom and like, just tell her how I feel. You see one moose and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then this is just from the psychological aspect. They're absurd. They can swim. They can run. They go like multiple double digit miles an hour. It's crazy. They live a long time and they don't need to eat a lot. It's insane. And if anyone ever crossed me and I have like six moose that I rolled deep with, I win. Like, they can't be killed with most guns. Pistols don't, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Moose are horrifying. They're a lot. And if I could control moose, that would be kind of rad. Like, if my neighbor woke up one day and saw me riding a moose to work, they are never parking in my parking spot ever fucking again. You know what I'm saying? All right. Next question. What was your first tattoo? It was a soot sprite on my thigh. It was a dumb little guy. I was a little drunk, and I told the tattoo artist, who did not know it was my first tattoo, can you draw a soot sprite that looks like it forgot its Xanax at home and really just is focusing on finishing its shift before it goes home? And he nailed it. That little scrunkly guy is holding up just great. What's your favorite Disney movie? How do you feel about Quasimodo? So I know that that movie is The Hunchback of Notre Dame. I've never seen it. So I guess neutral? Sometimes our fantasies turn out to be better kept as fantasies. Have you ever explored a kink that you weren't as into as you expected? Hope you're having a lovely day. I'm having a very good day. Recording this in the Discord right now and having a great time. I wouldn't say I have ever explored a kink that I wasn't into, as privileged as that sounds. I'm haunted by my horniness and it keeps me awake at night. I will give the opposite example of a kink that I thought that I would hate that I ended up finding a way to enjoy. And that was latex. I hate the feeling of latex on my body, like objectively. Like, I hate it. I hate it in a way that, like, is questionable to my mental health. But I think that some people are really pretty in it. And I think that the sensory deprivation elements of it are really compelling for scene creation. So, whereas probably 5 years ago I would have said latex is my one no, I would say now it's still a no for me. But for a partner, I would be supportive and interested and engaged. So that's one I thought that I would hate that I have come around on. How often do you hook up or contact friends with benefits? Has that changed much since you seriously started working on VA Patreon stuff? I don't do it much anymore. Not a lot of men and women are okay with porn stars. Doesn't matter if you're digital or not. I, despite my confidence, definitely don't love getting mocked. It's not enjoyable, even if it does brush off. Just because water comes off a duck's back doesn't mean it appreciates you dumping bucket after bucket on it. So, yeah, I would say it's fallen off pretty hard. Be what it be. If I knew other sex workers who were more tolerant where I lived, I would probably do it more with them, just as like an accountability and liability thing. But yeah, I don't know. That's as good as an answer as I can come up with, probably. How many regular fuck buddies do you have? And would you ever sleep/play with a fan or listener? Regular, like two, I guess. Although it's been a while. It's been months, so I don't know how regular that is. It's been a long time. Would you ever sleep/play with a fan or listener? Yeah. One day. Yeah, for sure, one day. If I did this forever and I was able to completely pay the bills and it would be entirely platonic in the sense that there would be no commitment or anything like that. But yeah, I wouldn't be against it if I got into that level of success. Obviously, I can't do it if I'm not doing visual porn. And obviously, I can't do it until porn is my full-time job. But if both of those things lined up and I felt inclined, maybe. Not against it. Everyone comes. I'm no different. You're very busy and work very hard. Somehow you make it all work and balance. If one day you weren't able to balance everything, assuming, of course, you had made enough to survive, what would be the first things that you would give up? What would be the things you would hold on to with a death grip? Music. I will never stop paying for music. I will never stop paying for one nice meal every 2 months. If I didn't have time for things, would give up video games next. I'm already pretty much on the path for that. I don't play video games much. They're like my relaxation time. But lately, I've just been finding that it's not very relaxing, and spending time listening to music on my record player or cleaning something methodically have been much better for my mental health than playing video games. So playing video games is actually maybe on the chopping block pretty soon here. What's your to-go sandwich order? I love Italians. Italians are really good. Capicola, pepperoni on a sandwich is really underrated. A Jimmy John's number... Oh, God, it's been so long. Number 6? Number 5? One of them. Really good. Would you ever do more audio roleplay catered to your kinks in the near future? Almost all of them are my kink. I mean, we're certainly not doing any lack of cuckolding kink here on this channel. So, you know, the horrors persist. Pick what you want. I don't care. Oh, a lot of questions. Okay. How many pairs of glasses do you have now, and which pair is your favorite? I have 7 functional pairs of glasses. Yellows are my favorite. I am deeply due for a refresh. I just don't have the money right now. Fuck, marry, kill. Cuckolding, mind control, breeding. Marry breeding kink. Fuck cuckolding, kill mind control, but I... When did you get your first tattoo? We already answered that one. That was a set sprite. What's your favorite thing about doing audio porn? Doing private commissions. I think I've talked about this before, maybe in the last one, but private commissions are hands down my favorite thing to do because getting the reactions from people that have hyper-specific kinks is really gratifying. As a guy who is a bull and tries to find and read bull porn, there's like so little out there. So for people who have kinks of which porn doesn't really exist, coming to me and being able to satisfy that for them makes me really happy. What's an audio that you ended up enjoying more than you thought you would? Toxic Male Monday. Probably. I thought I'd have a much harder time acting that out. If you were stuck in a time loop where you had to live in the same moment for the rest of time, what would you want to be doing? There was a time in my life where I had the space to go to the gym every day, and I was surrounded by both mentors and pupils in work where it felt really collaborative and really beautiful. I was sober, completely sober at the time. Yeah, probably that. It's my first time being completely sober after being in the restaurant business for a really long time, where that is not the case. And it felt really good. I mean, I'm mostly sober now, to be clear. I get drunk like once a month with friends, but it was definitely a lot more than that before. Another, if it's okay, would you rather be named Sploinky or Yoinky? And why? This discussion is tearing up my friend group. Sploinky. Sploinky sounds like a really good dude. He's inconsistent and like you can't really rely on him, but you know that if he shows up, he's gonna be a good time. Yoinky is a more interesting guy, but he kind of sucks to have around. I'm going Sploinky. I wonder who asked this one. Could have been anybody. Taylor question. What Taylor Swift era do you think represents your vibes the best, and what is your favorite era in the Eras Tour concert film, and why? Reputations is the only one that I know, so Reputations. Do you have a kink / fantasy that would be physically or ethically impossible to do that you wish you could try? Oh God, I'm gonna get flamed for this. Cheating kink. I've talked to so many other sex addicts who have who have done the unspeakable, who have done something that I've sworn on myself and my life that I will never do. And I know that I will never do, because I want to be always conscious and respectful of my partners and the people that trust their trust with me. On the flip side, I have heard that the orgasms are crazy. Just like body ripping, soul sundering, hard. And I really want to know. I really, really want to know how hard it is to come. And then the drop afterwards just has to be miserable. Like, you have to feel reality crash back into you. Ugh, I'm never going to do it. But it is the one kink that I wish I could do that I can't. Do you have any stories that fit the quote, "If I had a nickel for every time this happened, I'd have two nickels," which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice. There is a rare, very rare, meteorological function called a microstorm. A microstorm is when two condensed clouds hit each other and have nowhere to go. So instead, they both go down. The only indication that a microstorm is about to happen is two massive clouds moving towards one another that represent the pressure currents. I have been in two of them. It is the equivalent of being in the middle of a Category 5 hurricane for like 5 to 15 minutes. They are incredibly destructive. You can look up a photo of one if you'd like to right now. I've been in two of those. They're both traumatic, crazy, absurd events. And I've been in two of them in different parts of the United States, in whole different states. So, it's a lot of fun. I don't know why. I don't know why me, but me. What's the hottest thing a woman can say to you? Oh God. I'm gonna ask if you want the toxic answer, but you can't hear me, person who asked this. I mean it's probably a cuckolding thing, right? Like, he's never made me feel this way before. Or like, oh God, if I had slept with someone like 5 years later and they were like, "I missed this cock," I'm lasting a minute and a half tops. I'm lasting a minute and a half tops. It's over. Competition can't go burr. You're really good at improv. Did you ever take improv/theater classes? I never took classes, but I did do improv for a long time, and I've read a lot of books about improv. It's very, very easy at the end of the day. Favorite Five Nights at Freddy's animatronic? I know nothing about Five Nights at Freddy's. I'm so sorry. What's your favorite board game and how competitive are you? Probably Splendor and Extremely, if it wasn't clear from all the other context here today. How would you spend a lazy day at home? With Pippin on my chest listening to music. What do you feel is different, if there is anything, about your audio creating process from now from when you first started? When I first started, I did a lot of editing in post, and now I try to write macros for as much as I can. And automate as much as I can. What kinks do you feel be the most difficult to present in an audio format, and why? Sensation play. It's really hard. Somno was really hard. That's why you see more creators stepping away from it as a concept. Anything that requires physical touch to engage with the kink can be difficult to execute on for people that are unwilling to suspend disbelief. Which is not a bad thing. Every medium of sex has different natural advantages and skill sets as creators, but there definitely is some difficulty in being a VA and doing some of those kinks. What have you been most surprised about since becoming a VA? That male VAs, like, don't want to collab or interact or be accountable for anything ever. That's it. Everyone is convinced that there's a limited number of people who like porn, and that if they work with or adjacent to anybody in the space, they're costing themselves money. Which is silly, but it is what it is. If you were going on vacation and could only take 3 sex toys with you, what would they be? And no, a desk pet doesn't count. What if desk pet's 2 of them? Good lube, because if you're on vacation, you're probably stressed, and a woman who's stressed is probably not able to relax completely, and someone who's not able to relax completely is probably not able to engage in good, healthy, continuous sex. So lube to ease the pressure on the mind. I've often found that the simple act of bringing lube means that you don't need to use it, because the stress about whether or not someone can be ready and be wet and be engaged is its own stressor that piles on to the difficulty. So having it as an option and knowing that there's no pressure for someone to be ready at the drop of a hat improves the quality of the sex anyway. That's a tangent. Lube is number one. Number two is probably a vibrator of some kind. Again, I like sex toys that do things that I can't, so a vibrator. I don't know. There's so many other things going on in a vacation that I don't think I would really think to bring too many. Sex with someone new can feel awkward or mismatched in movements and to get more practice in. What do you do to make a new partner feel comfortable? And conversely, what can women do to make men feel more comfortable? That's a great question. It's a really good question. One of the things that I recommend really strongly is starting with small movements. You know, do missionary and use hands to guide the body. So like when a man is first with a woman, they don't know how hard or how fast they like them. Using indicators that are very blunt and very clear is amazing for that. Also hands, put your hands on a man's hips and show him how fast you tend to enjoy it. And say, I enjoy it this fast normally, but don't be afraid to go faster, or, you know, go slower when I get close, or don't change up your rhythm. Like, give literal instructions. Body signs are wonderful, but it's pretty tough. I like to get coffee beforehand and just ask questions, but I know that that's not reasonable for a lot of people with social anxiety. How did you choose the name Vel? Is there any meaning behind it, if you're comfortable sharing? I've had it for a long time. It's been a part of a longer online username since I started. That's it. Not that that really narrows it down much, but it was shorthand for what my old online usernames used to be. I just ran with it. What sort of planning do you do for your tattoos? All of them are planned. Left leg is vehicles from Ghibli films. Right leg is a junk sleeve patchwork. Left arm is a word search. Chest is nature and animals. My right arm is still up in the air. It's between a tarot deck, where all the tarot cards are done by different tattoo artists, and a Japanese style large landscape of forest creatures playing instruments in a big band. I would say that that's probably the whole thing. Any favorite non-alcoholic cocktails you'd recommend? Yes. Mint oil is something that everyone should have for the non-alcoholic cocktail game. You just take... I say non-alcoholic cocktail. There will be alcohol in it. It is not enough to get you drunk. It is not enough to impact your system. It is not enough for bad health reasons unless you have serious aversions to alcohol, in which case, obviously, this is tough. You can buy mint extract. It's just extremely expensive. But if you're okay with, like, non-alcoholic cocktails having 0.01% alcohol, 0.05, I'll be generous. Take mint leaf and add Everclear or high-proof vodka until it turns like pitch black on the outside, and then just put it into a dropper vial. If you take lime juice, ginger beer, a little bit of sugar, and then mint extract, and you squeeze it on top, it is like one of the best non-alcoholic cocktails of all time. Again, there is some alcohol, in the sense that there is literally a few drops, like you need 4 or 5 drops from a dropper in there but if you're okay with it, it's an incredible cocktail. Women, do you agree, yes or no? This is a trick question. I'm gonna be brave, yes. If you're comfy, can you share your coming out story? If you're not comfy, totally fair. Were you in theater in high school? I was not in theater in high school in a very technical sense. I was a construction worker, so they had me help out with like tech stuff, as they call it in the theater industry. It's good with the sawzall. And then my coming out story. Because I grew up in the fucking middle of nowhere, I didn't know gay people existed until I was 14. Really delays your coming out process. I loved sex, and women were pretty, so I focused on that for a really long time and just kind of ran loose with that. And then I went to college, and one of my, you know, just good friends, hookup buddies, whatever you want to call her. At one point, we were just like out in public, and I was like, God, there's so many hot dudes out today. Jesus Christ. And she was like, are you bi? And I was like, no, I'm not bi. I like having sex with women. And she was like, I know you were sheltered. Do you want me to explain this to you? And we went and got coffee, and she explained what pan and bi and straight and lots of things to me in a format that I perhaps didn't understand all that well. And I was like, well, I think men are attractive, but like, I don't think I would enjoy sex with them. And she was like, so you've played with your prostate and you didn't enjoy it? And I was like, what's a prostate? And then we got another cup of coffee. And I learned a lot that day also. And I just kind of came to terms with it. I don't think I really did come out. I think one day I just like was bi publicly, but I'd always been bi, more or less. Is it possible to know the early start of the Clean Vel power duo? Clean and I were just, we still are to this day, but were especially back then, menaces when it came to parties, like getting people excited and happy and engaged. And when you feel responsible for a space and the safety and the sanctity of others, you learn to love and respect the people that you share that space with that do the same. Clean's funny. He's incredibly supportive. He's always been there for me. We have a lot of similar trauma from our childhoods in weird ways, and we communicate in a way that makes sense for us that doesn't always make everyone else understand it, but it has always worked for us really well. When we were in college, we loved hosting parties, and we never wanted anyone to feel unwelcome or unsafe. And we were also alcoholics together, which was fun. Don't do what I did, but it was fun. After a year of porn, what are you most proud of, and what have you learned? I have learned that everything is worth releasing. Someone out there will love it. And everyone is worth paying. Everyone works so hard to make porn because the people with money don't value what we do. And if we, the people who enjoy this format and this content, don't support each other, we will be forced forever to play their game. So advocating for the health of the community is something that's more important to me now than ever. But I don't really know what I can do with GWA kind of on fire right now. So that's a thing that I could think about more if I had time. If you and your BFF could rule a magical factory kingdom like Willy Wonka, would you continue to make porn? Yeah. I think to expand on this question more than it probably wanted, but maybe not less than it deserves, I didn't ever want to charge for porn for the longest time because I thought to myself, this is a hobby and people enjoy it. And if they enjoy it, then that's fine. And I don't need to charge because this is just a hobby and it's not something I'm going to do seriously. And then I started doing it seriously. And I was like, I shouldn't charge. There are people that are better than me. Why am I charging? And then I was like, man, I don't like going to my day job. I wish I could just make porn all the time. And now the Patreon's here. I don't know. Like, if, here's my thing, right? If I had infinite money, what would I do? I would have a lot of sex and I would make jokes with friends and I'd want to build a community of people that I cherish and appreciate. Well, I don't have infinite money, but I do get to have fake sex and record really awesome porn and foster a community that I cherish. So, like, it's almost like having infinite money, right? So the perfect world where I don't need to do anything for work or life or sustenance, I'm probably still making porn of some kind. If I'm a billionaire, I'm supporting a kink community and scene in my space. I'm helping contribute to porn for people who feel marginalized, because that's something I'm really passionate about. So I don't think anything would change if I had infinite money, because it the more the Patreon takes off, the more it feels like it, because I would be doing this regardless, I guess. I don't know. I still struggle the most with this kind of stuff, if you couldn't tell. If you had a method for instantly traveling anywhere, where would you choose to live and work and play? I would choose to live somewhere in the mountains in a more modernized cabin home, in a place where the fog sets on the grass every day. I would work in that space in front of a giant window where I could look out into the woods, and I would probably play in Paris, Champagne, France, various places in France. Wind Waker when? I don't know. Probably soon, right? Just said video games are getting the chopping block a minute ago, so it's not looking good for Wind Waker. But I do want to play it. I just, haha, free time, smile. And funny enough, that's it. That is all the Patreon audios today. Or Patreon questions today, I should say. I'll probably do a post about the other answers to this question separately when it's all said and done. And get back to doing another one of these next year when I definitely can't answer all these questions anymore. This was already 50 minutes and I didn't even answer. Well, I did answer all of them, but there were some repeats, I guess, is what I'm saying. Great questions, as always. So I'm going to hit end. Look at the data. Share the data for those that are just completely interested. And you guys have a great day.